In an upstairs bedroom, a girl heard a knock on the window, and she knew that her plans to elope with her boyfriend were right on schedule. And the ladder was in place, and he was there. And he calls out, "Are you ready?" And she said, "Not so loud, you'll wake my father." And the boy said, "Wake him? He's holding the ladder." So, we'll get into that a little later. A young man that we had known since about junior high age has grown up, married, recently heading for New Guinea to serve with Bible translators. Another couple we know, at the age of 50, this man started seminary, completed that training, recently has gone to the rural areas of Northern California to serve, to give out the gospel. A fellow that I roomed with in college left here about 1954, and since that time has faithfully served in Venezuela on the Orinoco River to take the gospel there. I know a lady who has such a servant's heart that she just counts it a privilege to do for you. That's her mission. That's the way she gives out the gospel. I know a man on his job who wisely, prudently talks to people about the gospel. I know a man who I've known for some time, who has recently now gone to Julian to take the gospel. What am I saying? I'm saying that what God began to do, as recorded in the book of Acts, which we are studying, He is still doing. What He began to do is to call people, send them out to proclaim the message either by direct proclamation or by serving or in different ways. And that gospel message began to go out, and it's still happening today. We are a part of what is recorded in the book of Acts in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, when we started that book, we took Acts chapter 1, verse 8 as sort of the key for what God is going to do. And that verse says, as Jesus spoke to them and said, "You shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem," where they were, "then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the rest of the world." Now, in Acts 13, which we're going to look at this morning, we are in that third phase. We knew about Peter and the apostles' work in Jerusalem, and how Philip and others worked in Judea and Samaria, and the gospel is spreading. And this morning in Acts 13, we learn that Paul and Barnabas are going to take that first missionary journey, and they're going to go all over Asia Minor, and they're going to preach to both Jew and Gentile the marvelous message of the grace of God. Now, in order to understand how this came about, let's turn to Acts chapter 11 and begin reading about verse 19. And we'll see the shift from the headquarters of Jerusalem to the church now being having a headquarters in Antioch, which is far north of Jerusalem. How did that happen? How does God get this gospel out? Well, we learn one way that he does it is through persecution and Christians leaving their hometown and going different places. Acts 11:19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Very, very interesting thing that God is doing in terms of sending his people out with the gospel. And you remember we talked about how he used different people. Peter and John, Philip, Stephen, Saul of Tarsus. And how he uses persecution and all kinds of means to get the gospel to the world. Now, Paul and Barnabas and others are there in the church in Antioch. What's going to happen now? Let's read the first few verses of Acts 13. In Acts 13:1, we read this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that's the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John, that's John Mark, as their assistant. So here is the record of what was happening there in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas going out. Let's find what occurred as they had gone out and they'd been through Asia Minor and they're making their return home in Acts 14, verse 21. Acts 14:21. They went out with the message of the gospel of the grace of God. And they'd been in many cities, and here they are in Derbe. Acts 14:21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every city and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. After they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now it's important to catch the church at Antioch as a home base that God chose to use to sending in this third phase of sending the gospel out. So Paul and Barnabas and others with them go into many cities and they establish local churches. And they come back to Antioch and they report to their home church, their home base, all that God had done. And so while we read about Paul and Barnabas in a specific way, we want to catch the impact of that home church, the local church, and the body of Christ being involved in this mission. Now, what do we see here? What is happening? We see the same thing happening that we talked about last week when we read about the death of Herod, the imprisonment of Peter, the release of Peter, the death of James, and the word of God increased and grew. We see God's supervision of this whole thing. The Holy Spirit being the superintendent of the mission, the going out with the gospel. The Holy Spirit sending them out, directing. He is the sovereign one who is the source and the force and directs the course of missions. And this is what we see him doing here in Antioch. As the church was worshiping, the Holy Spirit communicated to them and said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." See, this is his doing. He initiates that communication. The people didn't think of this. It was God himself who came and did this. Now, he not only initiated the communication, he chose the workers. He said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Paul." He sovereignly does that. He not only chose them, he called them. He had communicated to Saul and Barnabas what he wanted them to do, and he directed them. And he used the whole church in causing this mission to occur. It was the body of Christ gathered and worshiping. And so we see the sovereign determinism of God and the participation of his chosen people in accomplishing what he wants done. So we look at the participation of God's chosen people in this church at Antioch. What were they doing? Says they were ministering to the Lord or worshiping the Lord. It was a worshiping church. It was caught up with God, attention on him in his character. As Earl led us this morning in the worship of God and calling attention to the glory of God and causing our hearts to be set on him is what they were doing. They were giving attention to the Lord. It was a teaching church. They had men here who were the teachers. And so they were instructed in the things of God and the New Testament theology. It was a listening church because they are aware of the communication of the Holy Spirit. And it was an obedient church. When the Holy Spirit communicated to them, they did not hesitate. And they did not find excuses or reasons for not following his communication. What a church. And it seems like the whole church was involved in the mission. God knew what he wanted to do, but he was using his people. And then Paul and Barnabas in particular, obedient servants. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. I like that. Isn't that great? To find that participation, that involvement, that kind of obedience, that kind of servant. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit and by the church, the body of Christ. And they were sent out with a message. And Paul refers to that as the message of the gospel of the grace of God. That salvation would come through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And later on in Acts 20, Paul gives his testimony to say, "This is my life, that I might live my life to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." That's his calling. So that's what we see happening here in this book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, with the third phase of this of Acts 1:8 being fulfilled, that the gospel is now going beyond Israel, beyond Palestine, beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea and Samaria, over into Asia Minor, and then it'll go into Rome, and then into Spain, and then into Great Britain, and into Holland, and then to the United States of America, and into Africa, and India, and Asia, and around the world. And we're a part of that. Now let's consider how we should look at that for our day. How do we apply this to our church and our lives? Well, it's a striking thing to me to read here. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, you see, there was a church in Antioch. That's very important, because that's what God is going to do to establish a base for His kingdom work through local churches. And when Saul and Barnabas went out and preached the gospel and gathered believers, they appointed elders and established local churches. That is the work of the kingdom. And we thank God that there was a church in Antioch, and that that church was enabled to be a part of sending them out. Again, what kind of church was it? What I mentioned before, it was a worshiping church. A church with people who were occupied with knowing God, aware of His sovereignty and of His grace. They were an instructed people. They were being taught the Word of God, and they were willing to be taught the Word of God. They were a serving church. They were a sending church, alert to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the kind of church. The Holy Spirit sending Paul and Barnabas going. So there's that local church, would to God today, that across this country and around the world, there were churches like the church in Antioch. And would to God that He would cause us to be more and more like that church in Antioch. Now, how can we participate in this mission of building the kingdom of God, of being part of the going with the message of the gospel of God's grace? What is it? Well, first of all, we have to think of what is a mission. What is a mission? A few weeks ago, Earl and I had the privilege of listening to the pilots who flew the F-18s into Libya on the raid. And I think I told you that when we were looking there, they were using slides as a way of telling us their story. And when they got to talking about the actual raid and getting there at 2 o'clock in the morning, on the caption of the slide, they had written, "Good morning, Mr. Gaddafi. This is your wake-up call." And so I thought that was a good thing. But you know what these men said? This was our mission. They called it a mission. A definite combat assignment is a mission. And we have a definite combat mission against evil. We are in spiritual warfare. A mission is a cause. It's a reason for living. It gives purpose to life. We're not drifting. The opposite of a mission is idleness, lack of involvement, indifference, just drifting. And we need to sense and realize freshly in our life, we are all on a mission. And you and I are living on a mission, could be for ourselves. Now, this is what most people in the world are doing, but some Christians still living for self. Selfish mission. You and I are on a mission. Everybody's on a mission. We're living for something, for some cause, or for some purpose. Many people are living for self. Greed, lust, pleasure, power, manipulation and control of other people, or just to be independent and do my own thing. That's a mission. That's what people are on. It could be a human cause, a political cause. General Omar Bradley, one of our great generals, once said the most dedicated person he had ever seen in his life was a communist. Their cause is worldwide aggression and domination. They live and die for that cause. Now just think of our privilege this morning. Think of the opportunity we have to give our life to a cause which is not selfish, which is not a humanistic cause, but which is the cause of the heartbeat of the Lord God Himself, the cause of Jesus Christ. To be in tune with God and walking with Him in the same purpose He has. What an opportunity. The church at Antioch was such a church. Paul and Barnabas were such people. Now, we can be involved in such a mission in God's kingdom by building local churches like the church at Antioch. And whatever we do here at Grace Fellowship is a part of that mission. And you and I, as individual believers, are an extension of this local church. Where you live in your neighborhood, where you do your work. You're a part of this mission. You're a part of you're the extension of this local church. How you live is a part of this mission. How you pursue holiness and righteousness. How you make decisions to take a stand against evil and the pornography and the immorality and the crime of our day is a part of this mission. How you do your work is a part of this mission. The testimony you maintain in your career, profession, trade, work is a mission. You are an extension of this church, and when you go to your office or wherever you go tomorrow morning, you represent us. Grace Fellowship, in addition to representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you're part of this mission. How you worship is carrying out the mission. How you serve is carrying out the mission. If you're a wife, being a wife, a Christian wife, is carrying out the mission. If you're a husband, how you are a Christian husband is carrying out the mission. Mother, father, person, friend, whatever that is, this is life. This is a life calling. It isn't Sunday morning. This is our life. And we are on the same mission as Paul and Barnabas and the church in Antioch. Now that somehow doesn't seem to set into our hearts. We somehow think that they are different. And that Paul and Barnabas, yes, they are missionaries. And they are servants, but we are not so much. Yes, we are. And we have the same mission. In fact, we have the same God. Same sovereign Holy Spirit. He's not a weak God. He's not a God who's defeated. He's not a God who's in trouble. He's not a God who is behind. And he's not a God who is late. And he is not a God who sends you out who is going to leave you. He sends us, committed to us. Now, this call of the Holy Spirit to be a part of this mission is not an option for us. We don't go back and sit back and try to analyze and say, am I a witness or am I not? No, that's not an option to a sovereign God. He can't be ignored. And his call is not to send us on an uncertain mission where we're confused and uncertain about life. His call is a directive. Now let me ask you this morning. How do you think of your life? Do you sense that you're on a mission? The same mission of building God's kingdom? Do you sense that every day of your life you are under orders by the sovereign Holy Spirit of God who makes the plans and gives the directives? Do you have confidence in Him? Do you trust Him with what He is doing? And where He puts you on this mission? You see, He sends us into hard places. Look where Paul had to go. In Acts, further along, we're going to read where he went to the city and they took him outside of the city and threw rocks at him and left him for dead. And if you go home today, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see that whole list of things that Paul went through. And as a believer and as a witness and on this mission, you'll be sent into some hard experiences and in some very difficult places. And even today, perhaps where you work is very, very difficult. Will you trust Him? Has He made a mistake in where you are and your lot in life? No. But what a life. What a glorious thing to sense. We are part of this. We're on a mission. We have a reason for living. We have a reason to pursue righteousness. We have a reason to share the gospel. What a life and what a mission that really is. Now there's a certain sense in which we need to know that as we are believers and we're directed by the Holy Spirit and we have the sovereign God, there's a sense of what I call stepping out on faith. There may be some things that God is directing you and I to do where He hasn't given us all the answers. He hasn't shown us everything on the road that lies ahead. And we can already see some of the difficulty and there's some risk involved. Now, trusting Him means that we're willing to step out on faith because of who he is, yes, we will go. Yes, we will do it. Yes, we will serve. Now, one time Peter and his friends were fishing in the Lake of Galilee, which they knew very well. I mean, these fellows are fishermen. And they had worked all night and they hadn't caught anything. And the Lord came along and said, "Peter, let down the net on the other side of the boat." Now, Peter's not a PhD, but he's got some things going up here. And he said, "Look," said, "my daddy was a fisherman. My granddaddy fished this lake. I mean, we know all the spots, and we worked all night. And now somebody who isn't even a fisherman has come along and said, put the net on the other side." He could have said that. Do you know what he said? He said, "Lord, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we will do it." They put the net in and they had more fish than they could handle. Now that is the response of faith. You let your analysis and all your human reasons stack up this idea of why we can't do this and we shouldn't do this. And then we come to the sovereign Lord and we say, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it." That's faith. That's stepping out on faith. God came to Moses in a burning bush. Said, "Moses, you go back to Egypt and you tell them who I am." And Moses begins to reason within himself and find occasions or excuses for not doing that. After all, he had killed an Egyptian and they were after him. And then he says to the Lord, "Well, who shall I say sent me?" And God says, "Go tell them I am sent you." And Moses is still hesitant. And I'm reading into this, and this isn't what it says in the text, but in a sense, I think we could say God is saying to Moses, "Moses, forget about yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am." And I really think the weakness of our service, of our mission, is because we don't know who he is. Do you realize this morning, as we sit here in this church, we are in contact with the Lord God Almighty through his word and by his spirit and through faith? And it's just as if we are sitting here with the Antioch Christians in a worship service. And there's the sense of the presence of God who is leading us in the mission. Now, in your own personal life and in my life, let's step out on faith. Let's not retreat. Let's not continue the mission of living for self, or to give ourselves to a human cause when we are called to build the kingdom of God. All that we can do here together will be a part of that mission. How we live, how we work, how we worship, how we serve, how we fulfill the role in life that God has given us is a part of the mission. We can go with the gospel. We can serve. We can pray. We can worship. And we can be involved in the greatest thing that human beings could ever think about on this earth: the cause of God. To think that I'm walking through this life right with God himself in his purpose, and I'm not going counter to him. What a joy. How defeating. And how awful it is to be going counter to God, or even to be slipping along, lagging behind, without a commitment, without an involvement, living our own way. Now this morning I thought it would be good for us to spend some time here in prayer, to let us know how we can pray for you in your involvement. And maybe there is a problem on your job and you're talking to somebody and you would like us to pray with you about your witness there. Perhaps in your home you have relatives with whom you're dealing and you would like to see them become believers and you would like us to pray with your witness. There's so many avenues where we are involved. We're a part of Stephen Sanya's life in having him come from Kenya, be further trained here and go back there. We will never, ever forget Stephen. He is a part of us. The Snells are a part of us. They're serving in 6 counties in rural area outside of Reading. There is now a church which is ready for a full-time pastor. Our hearts beat with them. We are involved right here. The Kennedys have gone to Washington, D.C. In that area, they worship, serve, give the gospel. The Schroeders are in San Diego, all a part of this local church. And we are involved right here. How could we pray for you in your involvement?